There we go. Amen. I find myself stuck a lot in life. How are you guys? Oh, wow. Ashley, so this is what you're talking about. Great response tonight. Amen. How are you guys?
Good.
Have you gotten to where, I don't know about you, but I have gotten to where I look forward to Tuesday nights. And Mondays and Tuesdays, you know, we have Sunday to fellowship together and hopefully to rest a little bit. But I tell you what, Monday, we just go flying, don't we? Mondays and Tuesdays are just wacky for me. And I've gotten to where I just can't wait to come and rest in the Lord on Tuesday nights and just hear the worship and begin to just kind of peel off all of the stress and all the anxiety and all the interruptions of the day. And it's just become a great blessing. I hope it's going to be a blessing for you guys tonight, of just sitting and listening to what the Lord has for us. And if we can, I just want to pray real quick. I know we just prayed, but I need to pray for me real quick. So, dear Father, I pray for this message. As Ashley said, it is just precious, good, rich scripture tonight. And it's just so kind of deep in me, and I still want to just mull over it, dear Father. And I'm not sure that I can even communicate how you've ministered to me through John 9. And so I just pray for the work of the Holy Spirit tonight, dear Father. I pray that just your presence is undeniable in this place. And I pray that every one of us will open the Word of God, will look at the Word of God ourselves, and will really examine where we are in our life and in our situation, and ask right now, dear Father, for you to speak to us tonight. Will you just communicate through the work of the Holy Spirit to every one of these women, daughters of the King who you so dearly love? Will you speak richness into their hearts tonight? In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Yesterday morning, Rena and I were down at DTS, at Dallas Theological Seminary, and we were going down there for a meeting, and as we were waiting for our appointment, a man came through the hallway that was a blind man. And knowing what our scripture message was going to be tonight, I just watched him as he walked. He had his seeing dog, and he had a cane, and he was with another gentleman. And I just watched his presence and the peace that he had and the calmness that he had. And he walked with a confidence. And they had to go down these stairs, and the gentleman that was with him was guiding him through that. And the entire time, he would just spoke with this uplifting spirit of knowing his place with God and his future. And I just wondered how he perceives Jesus Christ. And I feel like that with his blindness, that he probably sees God more clearly than I do with my sight. He was a man of great wisdom and a man of deep perception. And so we are going to be looking tonight at John 9, if you will go ahead and open up your Bibles. And my question as we start is your sight a hindrance? Or can you fully and clearly see Jesus Christ the way that he desires for you to see him? And so if you will look with me, if you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible on your table. I want all of us to open up together. You can use your song sheets for notes if you need to, kind of write in the margins. In verse 1 it says, "As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He has just proclaimed this in chapter 8 that we will be studying in a couple of weeks. I am the light of the world. And having said these things, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud, and he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so the man went, and he washed, and he came back seeing. This man is born blind, complete helplessness and hopelessness in this man. And the disciples immediately say, "Who sinned? Who wandered away from God's law?" Because that's what they saw is righteousness, is the law of Moses. Who wandered from that? Was it this man himself, or was it his parents? And in asking that, these disciples were having a theological problem here in their questioning, because they believed, and it was very popular to believe at this time, that sin directly caused all suffering. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. There's corporate sin that we all are going to suffer through that, and a lot of times we have illnesses from that are caused from that. And then there's just sin on ourselves that we've placed there ourselves. And so we talked about the difference of that, but it was very popular to believe that all sin caused suffering. And so they're a little bit confused here as to, since he's born blind, who was the sinner in this? And so they are questioning, is it this man? Has he been born with this handicap because he sinned in his mother's womb? That is Ezekiel 18:4. Did he sin, or did his parents sin? Ezekiel 24, when it speaks there of the generations of sin. So they are questioning what it is that is happening with this man, and theologically, they're confused. And so Jesus' response, if you look here in Scripture, he answers, it was not this man who sinned or his parents, but it's the works of God that he might be displayed in this man. Now, Jesus is not contradicting here Scripture of universal sin. In Romans 3, we see that we are all under sin. We have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. So he's not contradicting that here. Instead, he is saying that this blindness of this man is not caused by a specific sin, as we've seen last week with that. This is not caused by a specific sin that is happening here, but he's saying this problem exists, that God's work can be displayed. His glory can be seen through this man. In Exodus 4, when God is calling Moses to be his spokesperson for the Israelites and to go to Pharaoh, and Moses says, "I can't be the person because I am slow with speech. My tongue doesn't work. I have a handicap with the way that I communicate." And God came back to him and he says, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind?" He says, "It is I. It is God." And what he is saying to him is, "I alone have the power to work in you and through you. And I have created you the way that I have, for my glory to be displayed in you and through you." And so that is what Jesus is trying to show him here. We see also in Luke 13, if you were to look there, it's questioned there as well. Pilate kills many of the Galileans as they are there offering sacrifices to God. Many of them were killed by Pharaoh. And as this happens, Jesus speaks this rhetorical question to the disciples at that time. And he says, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way?" He is trying to break this popular view that all tragedies and all illnesses come specifically by you committing sin. And so he is breaking that mold. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks, when God a lot of times has to shatter our belief system so that we can clearly see who he is. And so that is what he is doing here as he is teaching through this sign, through this miracle. He is showing us how we can see him more clearly. And then if you look on in verses 4 and 5, he says, we must work while it's day. What he's speaking of here is the time that has been allotted for him while he is here on earth in his ministry. But I love this because he says, we. He includes the disciples. He is training them up to send them out. And he's saying, soon it will be night. When he speaks of that, he's speaking of his crucifixion. He's saying, I have been sent here by God, and while I'm here, while it is day, we need to get as much work as we can get done, because there's going to come a time when I am not here anymore. But what I love about this is that whenever he says we, he already knows what he's going to speak into those disciples. He is the light of the world today, and he has just proclaimed that. But when he dies, he's going to send his disciples out. Amen. He's going to say, you have all the resources you need. I am leaving so that you will have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will be the light of the world as I work through you. And so we continually see God raising up his people, training them up to send them out. And so he is preparing them to do his work once he is with God at the right side of his throne. And so in verses 6 and 7, it says that he spit on the dirt and made this mud, made this clay with his saliva, and he places it on the man's eyes. And just immediately that takes me back to Genesis 2:7. Amen. We were formed and we were made by the dust of the earth. And so if you were to look at Genesis 2:7, it says, then the Lord God formed the man of dust. He formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. So he is using this symbolism of showing once again, I was before time, I am, and I will be. Before you were born, I was. And he takes these disciples back through this Old Testament scripture as he once again proclaims over and over again, I am the great I am. And so if you were to look at the Hebrew here, I love it. In Genesis 2:7, this is what it literally says. And Yahweh God formed man, soil, from the ground. We are yet dust, and God has formed us. The word formed here, it's a picture of the potter fashioning the clay and shaping it and molding it into his perfection. In Jeremiah, God gives this visual to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 18, he sends him to a potter's house. And when he goes to the potter's house, he's working on his will, and he is molding this clay. And Jeremiah speaks of it, and it says, the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled. It didn't develop properly, is what he is speaking here, in the potter's hand. And he reworked it into another vessel. I thought, amen, how many times have I been reworked? Oh, my goodness gracious, as it seemed good to the potter to do. He reworked, and God gave Jeremiah this visual saying, I am your maker. I am your creator, and I will mold you, and I will make you into my image and into my perfection. Isaiah 64:8 says, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. The time that you and I can come to the place where literally we can say, God, you are the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me. That will be the day of freedom, I believe. Whenever we can completely say, I trust you completely. I know I am a broken vessel. Rework me and make me beautiful and make me whole. That is the day for freedom for us. I can only imagine what the disciples are watching as they are watching Jesus take this dirt, take this this dust from the ground and spit on it and make it into a clay mud and place on their eyes. They are literally watching Old Testament scripture be played out before them. I know that they probably didn't fully and completely understand it, but they were trying to put the pieces together as they were watching the great I Am mold and make with this visual. I want us to think a little bit about the blind man and what he was hearing. He could not see, but he was listening. And I'm going to ask every one of you to close your eyes and to keep them closed until I ask you to open them. I want us to take it in as this man took it in, as Jesus was going through this process of healing. And at this point, I don't even know that the man even knew that Jesus was going to fully heal in this manner. He can't see Jesus at work, but blind people are so much more perceptive than many who can see. They can hear with this depth of perception, and they take it in. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. Just go with me here, ladies. They are way more aware. I just wonder, whenever he was just this little boy, just this child, if he sat on his father's lap and heard the stories of the Old Testament. If in his mind, I wonder if he visualized God breathing life into man. It says God would teach him scripture and go over Genesis 2:7. Just one more time, Daddy. How were we created? I wonder if he's just visualizing that as he's listening and he's hearing God breathe life into him. Physical sight. All things are definitely going to be new to him in just a matter of minutes as he opens his eyes and as he sees color for the very first time. He couldn't see Jesus pick up the dirt, but he could hear it. Can you hear it? Can you hear Jesus just picking up that dirt? And then he spits on it. He goes, and he hears as Jesus spits into his hands. Jesus' actions were an aid to develop the faith of not only the man, but every person watching and listening, as literally you could hear a pin drop. With your eyes closed, I want you to think about the areas in your life that need healing today. If you'll just close your eyes, I'm just asking you to close your eyes. It's just you and God right now. Where do you need healing today? Might be physical, relational. You might need healing of restoration, forgiveness, bitterness. Picture in your mind what it is. Picture the situation and the circumstance. Can you hear the Father as he is the potter and you are the clay, and he is molding you and reshaping you and building you into this beautiful daughter of the King? He is working in the midst of your situation. Just listen. Do you know his presence? Can you hear him as he speaks truth to you tonight? Do you know that God sings over you? Scripture says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You've been set apart from birth and called by my grace. Can you hear God speaking very specifically just to you? I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. What is the situation that you're needing to be healed tonight? I see your tears, God says, and I will wipe them from your eyes. I will work in you according to my purpose. I am the potter. God says, for you are my workmanship. You are created for good works, and I will give you comfort. I will restore you, and I will give you new life. You, my child, my daughter, You are redeemed, you are forgiven, and no one can separate you from my love. With your eyes still closed, Jesus says to this blind man, in Scripture he says, go and wash. The miracle isn't instant, as we have seen in the past miracles that we have walked through in Scripture. With just Jesus' spoken word, this time he is telling this man, you have to take action. There is a delayed healing. The man must step out and do what God is calling him to do and be obedient in that. What action is God calling you to do right now in your situation for you to be fully healed? Do you trust him enough to do it? Don't delay your healing. We continually delay what God has already spoken and proclaimed for us to have. Don't delay it anymore. The story of this blind man signifies spiritual blindness. And for many of you, that's exactly where you are tonight. You are in this spiritual mess of just not seeing clearly what it is that God has for you. Maybe you've been blind to God's work in your life. Or maybe you haven't known the Lord personally as your Lord and Savior, and you are fully and completely blind to what it is that he is calling you to do. Psalm 51:5 says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And 2 Corinthians 4 says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel. But right now you know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And the Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth, and if you will believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And the God of grace and mercy will extend his arm to you, and you will be saved. Dear Father, I just pray right now for every one of us as we just have our heads bowed. Dear Father, you tell us in Scripture that we are dead in our transgressions and sins, but because of your great love, your great richness in mercy, dear Father, that you have made us alive in Jesus Christ, and that it is by your grace that we have been saved. And ladies, I'm just going to ask you right now that you respond to the Lord with your situation. Just as this man took action, I'm going to ask you in your heart to take action with the Lord before we move forward anymore in Scripture. Dear Father, I just pray right now for every one of us that you will open our eyes to see you clearly, and that we will know you as Lord and Savior, and that we will know you as healer, and that you have all victory over our lives, dear Father. I pray that we surrender right now to literally being your clay and trusting you as our potter to reshape us and to reform us and to perfect us into your image. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So as we look at Scripture, we see that this man, it says that he goes out and that he's washed and he goes into this stream that God says, and he comes back seeing. And we immediately see the reaction of the people. And so I want us to see that very quickly. First, we see the reaction of his neighbors. And we see that they're kind of arguing, is this really the guy that lives next door to us that's been blind and now he sees? You know, there's something about when someone gets their sight, they probably look different, don't they? Probably for him, the sun was even hurting his eyes a little bit. He needed a sun visor, some glasses. And they were asking him, and his response when he is telling them that, yes, it's me. They're saying, who is this that healed you? And he said, it's a man named Jesus. And then we see that they take him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees begin to question because once again it's on the Sabbath, and we see Jesus over and over and over again. He's like, don't you get it? I'm going to heal one more time on the Sabbath. Do you not hear what I'm saying? And these Pharisees begin to question and saying, this can't be from God because it's on the Sabbath. He must be a sinner. Speaking of Jesus. He must be of the devil, is what they've said in Scripture. And so whenever they come and they question this man, he says, when they say, who was this man? He says, he is a prophet. And so then they go to the parents and the parents' reaction. And we see the parents' reaction. The parents' reaction breaks my heart. Because they feared the Jews and the Pharisees so greatly. Because they had said to anybody who proclaims the name of Jesus, you will be thrown out of the synagogue. And because of that, they kind of shrunk back a little bit. And they said, he is of age. You ask him. That breaks my heart as a parent. That they felt like that they couldn't defend their child and their son. And they stepped back because of the harassment that they had heard from the Jews. And then we see the man's reaction. And so as the Jews, they kind of ping pong back and forth. If you look at verse 25, and it's questioning, and he says, the man says in verse 25, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. I mean, we're seeing that he's kind of progressing as to who Jesus is. But he says, one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. And he begins to get this confidence and this courage, knowing what just happened to his parents, that if they proclaimed anything in the name of Jesus, that they would be thrown out. And we see this man just build up in this braveness and confidence of his significance of who he is. Once I was blind, but now I see. I don't care who you think he is. I know who he is. And then if you look in verses 28 and 29, he says, you are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. I love this because he says, why are you asking all these questions? Do you want to be his disciple? He knew how much that would rile them up. They had been counting the numbers of how many people were starting to follow him. They had this whole Excel spreadsheet on everyone that was starting to follow Jesus. Every time the crowds would come together, I'm sure that they had number counters. They were like, we do not want to follow him. We're the follower of Moses. And then if you look, he says in John 30 through 33, the man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. Right there should tell you exactly where he came from. We know that God does not sin and listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. This blind man, this beggar, this man that they just looked at on the side of the road that they saw as fully unworthy is now teaching the experts. Amen. When Jesus Christ is in you, you have a confidence. I love how he calls the disciples, men that were foolish in the educated man's sight, and he used them to proclaim the kingdom of God. And so we see this man giving a lesson of practical theology. And he is saying, he is speaking these words back to the Pharisees because what the Pharisees had done over and over again. In the Old Testament, we see that God only hears the righteous, that he turns his back from the sinners. And what the Pharisees did was they would take that scripture and they would just nail it over and over and over again. You are unworthy. You are a sinner. You are not righteous. God will not hear from you. And he's saying, if you're calling this man a sinner, and he has just healed me in a way that has never been done in history, there is no way that he is anything other than a man sent by God. And so he is speaking them this to them, two different things. A sinner God will not listen to, yet this man healed me. And no one in history has healed a blind man who was blind from birth. In amazing grace, here I stand. Now, what I don't want us to get confused with before I move forward is that I want you to hear what I'm speaking tonight and not take it out of context. When they are speaking this, and when this man is speaking to the Pharisees about, he says here in the verse, he says, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. He is speaking the case of Jesus Christ. So I don't want you leaving tonight and saying, Melissa Shaver just said that God does not listen to sinners, because I am one and he hears my heart every day. Every one of us, he says, though you are sinners, I have sent my son. I have reached out and I have come to a place where I can have restoration and build relationship with you. Scripture tells us over and over again, if we cry out to God, he hears our voice and he extends mercy. We are making a case for Jesus Christ here and the accusations that are against him. He is not speaking of you and me as a sinner, that God does not hear our voice. He does. Amen. Are you with me on what I'm saying? I tell you, I put that out on Facebook yesterday, and I had a man scream at me really loud. It was all in caps. I don't know if y'all saw that. I was afraid to respond. I was like, does all caps mean screaming? I mean, you need to go read the scripture that I'm talking about, because I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the case for Jesus Christ. So I want to make sure that we don't leave this place with all y'all screaming. One thing that I want us to look at that we're just going to close with is I want you to see how this man changed each time he was questioned. I don't want you to miss it. Because whenever we are spiritually blind and God raises the veil and we see him clearly, the way we see him changes as we go through that transformation with Jesus Christ. And what we see here, if you see first, he says, it's a man called Jesus. When they said, who is this? And then he said, it's a man called Jesus. Didn't even know him. And then with the Pharisees, he says, he's a prophet. So he's moving. It's not just this normal guy. It's got to be a guy from God. He's a prophet. He's a good teacher. And then as we see that he goes through and he goes through this proclamation to the Pharisees, when he stands up to them boldly, he says, he is a man of God. And then as we move in to scripture, he says, he is the Son of God. He is Messiah. And that's what I think you and I do. As we continue our relationship with Jesus Christ, we come to a place where we say, I know that I know that I know that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, the risen Savior. And because of him, I am a new creation. And I will stand up with boldness because he lives victoriously in my life. And I am healed and I am whole. You have been given a power, a spirit of power, of self-control and love, is what 2 Timothy says. Not a power of timidity or a spirit of timidity. We see his parents shrink back, and this man stands up boldly and speaks God's words. I don't know if you're a woman of divorce. I don't know if you're a woman without a job, a woman looking for significance in every wrong place possible. A woman that did some type of act in your past that has put this unbelievable shame and guilt and worthiness on you. In all those situations, you feel like that you will never be able to be loved and blessed again. But when you come face to face with Jesus Christ, there is healing. And he heals you in the midst of your pain and in the midst of your circumstance, and you can stand on his truth and his promises that he sings over you every day. Psalm 3:3 says, you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me, and you lift my head. God gives you back your dignity. He gives you back your reputation that you feel like that you've lost. And you can stand boldly and proclaim, He is the Messiah. He is my Lord and my Savior. I just want us to quickly look at verses 35 through 38. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. So whenever he comes and he speaks truth to these Pharisees, they basically just throw insults on him and they kick him out of the synagogue. And we see that Jesus hears and that they cast him out and he goes and he finds him. This is his second time that we see that he goes and finds the one that he heals. And he says, Do you believe in the Son of God, of man? And he answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe? And Jesus said, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And it says he worshiped him. He fell on his knees. There was great healing, of physical healing here, but God healed this man's heart, and he made him whole. And he confessed, I believe. And I love what it says here whenever he answers, Who is this? And he says, You have seen him, and it is he that is speaking to you. He says, You've already seen him spiritually sensed. I mean, even with those eyes closed, you sensed him. But now you are seeing him face to face. This man knew Jesus' voice. But now he saw him very clearly as he saw him face to face. And I love this scripture because this is exactly where you and I are today. Do you know the voice of your Lord? Do you hear his voice as he whispers to you? There's going to come a day when you see him face to face. 1 Peter 1:8 says, Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, glorious joy. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. And what does he say? But then you will see me face to face. It's a glorious hope that you and I can have. And can I just tell you right now that when you see him face to face, it's going to be every pleasure, every joy, every blessing that you could have ever even thought that you received here on earth in great abundance whenever you're with him face to face. It's something that we can't even describe or understand here on earth. I don't know how, when we see him face to face, that we will do anything but get on our knees, fall, and worship the one true God. Isn't that the richest scripture? I love this scripture. The beggar admitted his need, and his eyes and heart were both opened. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see. How do you see him today? Do you see him as a man named Jesus? Do you see him as just a prophet and a good teacher? Is he moving you to the place that you are saying he is sent from God? Are you literally proclaiming he is the Messiah? He worshiped him. This man proclaimed precisely what John speaks of, that we spoke of that very first night in John 20:31. I have written these things so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, and in believing you may have life. The Bible says that angels rejoice and celebrate when one comes to know the Lord and Savior. And I can just imagine the celebration as this man who was once blind and now sees fully, clearly, as they sing over him. I want us just to close with two visuals in scripture, and I'm going to ask you once again to close your eyes. As you come to this place, whenever you know, as we hope for the things that we hope for that we do not see, that time whenever we come to that place of being fully and completely healed and whole and renewed and redeemed whenever we see Jesus Christ face to face. Philippians 2 says, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There will come a day that every knee will bow. My prayer is that yours is already bowed down and fully surrendered. Revelation 5 says, as we just visualize being face to face with Jesus Christ, I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Take in that hope, ladies. You will see him face to face. What a precious time that will be. Dear Father, we just pray right now for your healing tonight. I pray that you make us spiritually whole, dear Father, that we will proclaim you the Son of God, the Messiah. Dear Father, I pray that you open our eyes that we may see you fully. Cleanse our hearts, dear Father, that we can worship you with all purity, dear Lord Jesus. Give us strength to live out our days until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.